Well, before we get into the scriptures, I want to think about just where we are liturgically. We just started the month of October, which is one of 2 months in the year dedicated specifically to Our Lady. So you want to make sure that you're increasing your Marian devotion during that time. And specifically, October is dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary. So as best you can, try to be praying a rosary every day. If you're not used to that at all, maybe just start trying to pray at least one decade of the rosary. Maybe this week, say, okay, I'm going to try and pray one decade at least. Maybe next week, maybe try a second decade. And even beginning, you maybe start with a distracted one. So maybe while you're driving or while you're walking, something like that. Just something to just begin getting the rosary into your life. And then eventually, though, I mean, obviously the ideal would be, you know, sitting in a quiet place and really deeply meditating or having scriptures or holy images, really praying on the mysteries of the rosary as much as you can. That's the ideal, but, you know, work your way up to that. So do what you can as you're beginning. Also, October is one of the best months of the whole year for just so many incredible saints. So we already had St. Therese, guardian angels, St. Francis of Assisi yesterday, and then today is two saints, but neither of them are on the universal calendar, but they're well known. Anyone know who the saints are today? Celebrate. Today is the feast of St. Faustina Kowalska. So she's the visionary of the Divine Mercy image. And then also just in America. Anyone else know the other saint today that's just in America? It's actually a blessed. Blessed Francis Xavier Silos, who ministered in Pennsylvania. He was a priest in the 1800s, 1860s. And he's known as actually the joyful priest, the happy priest. So I like him a lot. And then tomorrow, I can't remember, but there's so many. October is filled with so many great, great saints. So make sure you're connected to the liturgical calendar while you're trying to grow closer to our Blessed Mother as well. All right. So we heard in the lectionary that for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be going through 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy only has 4 chapters. So again, we're going to highlight that, really encourage you to be reading in your own time. It's a short little book. Just read, you know, chapter 1 this week. Maybe read chapter 2 next week. It's just real easy, and it's so, so awesome. I remember going through 2 Timothy when I was in college, and I was having a huge conversion experience, and I was in a Catholic Bible study that was learning, you know, we were learning Old Testament and New Testament and Jesus and how, you know, the cross saves me from my sins and how the Jesus is fulfilling everything in the Old Testament, and that's fantastic. And then I was also in another Bible study of young men, and we were just going through 2 Timothy. And just getting the spiritual principles that are necessary for us to live a life in Christ. So I love 2 Timothy. So, and especially for men and young men, it's important because it's from St. Paul writing to one of his favorite disciples, Timothy, who was a young bishop. So, all right, so let's dive in. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy. And as always, I'm always using the RSV, second edition Catholic version. All right, I'm not going to read every line here, but we'll get started here. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, wonderful greetings. And notice he says to Timothy, my beloved child, this is not his son. But because bishops and priests were referred to as father, right? They're spiritual fathers, they're called fathers, and they're all the disciples, all those ministering to are their children. And so we see this in the Bible. It goes all the way back to the beginning. And so Catholics, we still call our priest father, right? And we call the Bishop of Rome, Papa, right? Or in English, it's Pope. So, okay. All right. I thank God for whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, and I long for you day and night to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, and a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. So again, this was written in probably 68 AD. This is the last year of St. Paul's life, most likely his last letter that he wrote. And only about 35 years after the resurrection. So his grandma was faithful, his mom was faithful, now he's a young bishop who's faithful. So these must have been one of the first Catholic families, right? For all those generations to be happening in just 35 years. So it's pretty awesome. And notice, though, the role of the grandmother and the mother, and so that's really, really great, right? So we love that. So moms and grandmas, keep praying, keep discipling. So at the same time, though, we need all of the men to be fully engaged in your faith, because it's generally actually the men that set the tone or the spiritual tone of the household. And statistically, that's the case. And so that's why this is written to men, and that's why men are so important, because of their special role as well. All right, so here we go. Verse 6, this is for everybody. These are the two best verses probably that you're going to hear today, so tune in. All right, for this reason, I remind you to rekindle or to fan into flame or stir up the gift of God which is within you through the laying on of my hands. So he said, you've got gifts, you've got spiritual gifts, but sometimes we get lazy, sometimes we get sleepy. We got to stir up those gifts inside of us. And he says specifically through laying on hands, so whether that is confirmation as well as also ordination and consecration as a bishop. So both and. But it applies to you, especially if you've been confirmed, or at the very least, if you've been baptized, you've been given spiritual gifts, right? And we need to stir those up. All right, and then this next verse he says, so stir up these gifts, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of cowardice or a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. God has given you already have a spirit of power, love, and self-control. Isn't that great? So if you think you are powerless, you are not. You have power. If you think you don't have any self-control, you do. You have self-control. It's in you. It's just a matter of stirring up the gifts of God that is in you. So these are really, really great. And I know for myself, I need to be stirred up in my faith too. You know, I'm giving to a lot of people. I'm doing a lot for other people. I'm building them up in their faith, which often builds me up too. But I need to be refreshed as well. So I remember even just yesterday, early in the week, I had some friends said, hey, are you going to go to the Marian Conference down at the Convention Center? And I actually hadn't even heard of that one. And but I looked at the schedule and I looked at my schedule and I was like, you know what, I could go down there for about 2 hours and hear a couple of priests that I'd like to hear. So I did that. So I went down there and I got to hear Father Chris Alar and Father Bill Casey, who I hadn't seen in like 20 years. And then I, you know, and I just was there like receiving. And they're like, oh, Father, you're going to hear confessions? You're going to hear confessions? I was like, no, I'm not. I'm here to receive. I'm here to be built up. I'm here to be encouraged. That's what I need to do right now. And so that's what I did. And it was really great. And then in addition to that, I got to, then they were going to say Mass. There was really only a few priests there, basically all the speakers. And I was like, yeah, I'll say Mass with you guys. And so I got to be able to say Mass. So I got to meet Father Chris and Father Bill Casey. And I'm, you know, sitting by Father Chris Alar the whole time. And just, it was awesome. So the Lord, even, so I'm taking a few steps to be built up in my faith. And the Lord is giving me even more. Do you see? So you just take a few steps, and oftentimes the Lord will give you even more, multiply more and more, right? And again, we've got so many conferences in Denver that I mean, you know, last week was the National Women's Conference, right? Just at Joan of Arc, and now there's the Marian Conference. Next week is the Gospel of Life Conference. I mean, we have so many. So my question is, are you investing in yourself and in your spiritual life? Are you going at least once or twice a year, if not once or twice a quarter, and saying, hey, I just want to go get built up and just be around a bunch of Catholics and just experience great teaching and you know, so make sure that you're involved. So it's great, of course, to come to Mass. Yes, in a sense, the Mass is the pinnacle, right? We have the Holy Eucharist, which is the source. And yet, it's amazing. Some people can go to Mass, and they're basically just asleep the whole time, and they leave, and they're still asleep. And it's, I'm not going to say it's worthless, but it's practically worthless, right? In the sense of the practice. So, and then there's other people who come to Mass and they're like, wow, that's amazing. I mean, I had so many people today, they're just like, I had so many people today, they've never even been to Mass in their life. I think I had 5 of them and they were here. And they came up to me and they were like, that was amazing. That was one of the best homilies I've ever heard. Your church is incredible. You guys have, and I had one couple, they came up and they said, we've traveled the world. This is one of the best churches I've ever seen in my life. And your message is unbelievable. It's like, thank you, wow. I mean, that's what you've got. Are you plugged in? Are you enjoying it? Are you letting it refresh you? Are you letting it be this incredible gift that it is? So, all right, and that's not all just about me. I have a role in that, but it's this whole experience. Okay, all right. So fan into flame the gifts of God that's in you. It's already in you. And don't give into a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, because that's not from the Lord. You have got a spirit of power, love, and of self-control. All right. Do not be ashamed, then, of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but take your share of suffering for the gospel in the power of God who has saved us and called us. So again, he's also saying, all right, so we don't have fear, but in the midst of it, you are going to suffer for the gospel, whatever that way is. Now, you're going to suffer anyway in your life, no matter what you do. And so you might as well suffer for the gospel and for the right causes, right? So, okay. Let's see. Then we'll go down here a little bit. It says, yeah, therefore I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. So again, we're guarding, we're holding on to, and then he says this again. He says, follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So again, these two principles of guarding the faith, and then this, you know, guarding what's been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit. So again, whether that's, you know, the graces of the Eucharist, or, you know, great teaching that you're getting, or great encouragement by being with one another, are you guarding that throughout the week? Are you guarding that? Or are you just letting it piddle away and leak out of you as soon as you leave the parking lot? Or maybe it's by Tuesday or Wednesday. It's just, you know, because that can happen to us, right? And there's a biblical image, I think it's from Ezekiel, and I love it. And he says, Lord, make me a pillar of iron, a wall of brass. I love that. Make me a pillar of iron or a wall of brass. And that's what I think of, like, okay, I'm receiving all these graces, and I'm going to hold it within this wall of brass, that it's going to stay. And so, you know, even if I'm, you know, watching a football game, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I did that last week with some friends, fine. But it's not consuming my mind, right? I'm more consumed with Christ than I am with that. Or when I'm at, you know, when you're at your job and all kinds of different things, are you still focused on Christ? Or as your day is, you know, your week is going on, you know, are you connecting to the Lord? Are you holding on to what's been given to you? Or is it just like, no, I just listen to, you know, impure music all the time and just watch Netflix and binge TV stuff? That's letting it all leak out, letting it all go, right? Zapping your energy, zapping your strength, zapping your life, really. So, but instead, you can be this pillar of iron, this wall of bronze that's holding these things, and like, yeah, and it's got its own strength. And then you're able to actually give to other people too, because you're filled up. So, all right. Then this principle here, he basically takes some famous Catholics and he calls them out and he says, these ones are terrible. And then he calls out some other and says, these ones are really good. And he calls them by name. So listen to this. He says, you are aware that all who were in Asia turned away from me, and among them, Phygellus and Hermogenes. So those are the bad ones. He's calling them out. And may the Lord also, but here's the good ones, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me eagerly and found me, and may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. So I'm not necessarily doing this today, but just know that the biblical principle is if there's famous people out there or well-known people and they're claiming to be Catholic and they're not, and they're disobeying church teaching and they're bad examples, the biblical model is call them out publicly and say, hey, you are not an actual Catholic. You are outside of what you're doing things that are not Catholic. You are not a Catholic. That's fine to do that, right? And then it's also fine to say, hey, these guys they're Catholic and they're doing great stuff and their ministry is great, and get involved with them or listen to their teachings or, you know, whatever it may be. So just know that both and are part of being Catholic, okay? So, all right. Okay, so that basically rounds up chapter 1, but I'm not going to be able to get to all chapter 2 next week, so I just want to give you the first tail end of chapter 2 because it's one of my favorite verses. Because you might be thinking, you know, what do I do? What's my mission? What's my ministry? I've got some family members who love the Lord, and but they're always kind of like, I don't know what God's call for me is supposed to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. So let me answer that for you from this verse. This is 2 Timothy. So we're in 2 Timothy, so 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Okay, Catholics can memorize Bible verses, if you didn't know. especially when they're easy. 2 Timothy 2:2, and I'm about to tell it to you. All right. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here it is. And what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to many faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. So 2 Timothy 2:2 is we teach teachers to teach. That's what it means to be baptized. Is that you are receiving at some point at least an adequate amount of formation in your faith, that then you're saying, I can now teach someone else, but I don't just teach them and leave it there. I teach them in a way that they can teach others. That's your baptismal call in life. Certainly, moms and dads, you're doing that. That's your call. Fathers, specifically, that's your call to disciple your children in the faith every week. Moms also, that's your call. But it's not just your children. It's beyond the home as well. And that's great news. And I always say, make it as fun as possible. Do it as fun as possible. If you say, okay, I am going to teach someone else, I'm going to have a discipleship group, and we're just going to eat ice cream every time we meet, then great, do that. Or maybe some of the guys get together and they say, okay, when we do our Bible study, we're going to have a modest amount of bourbon when we do our Bible study. That's great. That's fine. Or some others say, okay, we're going to get some people, we're going to go play pickleball, and then we're going to do Bible study for 20 minutes after that. Great. Have it be as fun as you could possibly make it. Because it's your call, right? You got to do it, so you might as well make it as fun as you can. That's what I usually do. And enjoy it. Because you're making an impact on people, and you can do it in the way that's really fun for you. And some people, some Catholics, for some reason think this is the priest's job. No, the priest's job is offering the sacraments. Now, I'm baptized, so I also do disciple people, but I can't disciple the whole world. So guess whose job it is to convert the whole world? It's not mine. I'm here. It's the laity, the baptized. It's you to go and evangelize even just one other person each year. But ideally doing it in a way so that then they could say, wow, I just received that. I could actually go and teach someone else. So that's what we call spiritual multiplication. Instead of just addition. Now, addition is great. That's where one person knows the faith and they share it with one other person. That's fantastic. But that's just addition. And meanwhile, you know, another billion people were born. So we're way behind, right? But multiplication is, okay, I can minister to two people in 1 year. And then by the end of that year, they can minister to two people. And then by the end of that, they can minister to two people. And all of a sudden, it's really multiplying, right? And that's why we have the Catholic Church all over the world. And the good news is, though, you have the gift of God inside of you. And so this is what we're all called to. Now, when I start describing these things, if you have some sort of terror response and say, I don't know enough, I don't know how to do this, I don't know, okay, you're probably right. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not ready. So that means you then need to go and receive. So go be in one of our small groups. Go be in one of the online courses. You know, the Catholic resources in English are the best in the world. You've all got access to form.org. You could watch that and just find a series that you like and then find one of the persons. Hey, I just watched this series. Why don't we watch this series together and just talk about it for 4 weeks or for a couple of months? It doesn't have to be hard. It's just finding one other person or two other people or three other, however the Lord was working in your life that semester to be able to multiply. And it can be fun. So that's the good news. So 2 Timothy 2:2. So we learn And yeah, and if you're in a season and you literally don't know a single thing, okay, then fix that. Let someone pour into you. Let someone build you up for 3 months, maybe 6 months. And after that, then you're ready to say, okay, I'm ready to reach out to someone else now too. So, all right. Anyway, so isn't that great? Did you know you're able to do that? You know you're equipped and you have what it takes to do that? And there's all kinds of resources to help you as well. So, all right. Well, I'm going to pause there. So, 2 Timothy, fantastic. We got this first chapter. And then also, too, the next one, oh, I love it. Especially, guys, literally the next verse, I'll just give it to you. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ in Jesus. No soldier on service gets entangled with civilian things, but is interested only in satisfying the one who is enlisted. And the next one talks about being an athlete. We are soldiers for Christ. That's what confirmation means. Men and women, you've become soldiers in the army of the righteousness of God. You are an army for good, for light, defeating the kingdom of darkness. And so you have what it takes. And so we go forth, focused only on our general, Jesus Christ, and his command. And we say, okay, Lord, this is your command. It's in the Bible. I don't know how to do this. I'm going to go do it. If I die, I die. But here we go. And I'm going to pursue the Lord and whatever his call is. And then he does awesome, amazing things. And it's great. And you have fun. And then everyone's like, oh, man, my faith is so alive. This is fantastic. I wish I'd been doing this my whole life. That's what everybody says. It's great. So, all right. 2 Timothy, St. Paul, pray for us. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. You do not have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power, love, and self-control.